SBS Radio.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And as usual, we will start with the headlines of this week's edition. And once again, another swastika which has been painted in Melbourne.
Yes, so we have the swastika was actually sprayed onto a poster promoting a play called The Diary of Anne Frank, which is being put on by a small theatre company in Melbourne called the Peridot Theatre Company in Mount Waverley. This was very shocking because it's in the middle of the season for this play, and a cast member discovered it, the poster with the swastika sprayed on it, after just the second performance of the play, and it sent shockwaves through the entire cast and the Peridot's Theatre Company's president, Alison Knight, told the Jewish News that, of course, the poster was photographed and reported to the police. She said the whole cast was sickened. You just don't expect this to happen in a place like Mount Waverley. And she said the cast, who are not Jewish, put a lot of effort into researching the Holocaust. They visited the Holocaust Museum in Melbourne. And they just felt that this play is especially relevant these days, given what's going on in the world. She said, the world today is becoming more and more extreme, and I think we need to tell these stories to show how it affects ordinary people who have done nothing wrong. On its Facebook page, Peridot Theatre posted, "We are honoured to tell Anne's story, and we say no to hate." The whole cast was visited also by Anti-Defamation Commission Chair Davir Abramovich. He said he stands proudly with Peridot Theatre and the cast. He described the incident as shameful and cowardly desecration of Holocaust remembrance, and he expressed hope that the vandals will be identified and dealt with to the fullest extent of the law.
It seems that we see these type of incidents happening again and again, which is really sad because it seems to be sort of like a fashion, I would say. You see it on the news and go and tell your friends, let's go and have some fun. This is the way I see it. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That seems to be the case, especially when one incident happens. Often within a week or two, there's more incidents. That's been the case in Melbourne, especially this year. And in Sydney, it's happened several times in Bondi Beach on the mural wall. It's happened about three or four times this year. So, yeah, it's very concerning that it seems to be on the increase.
And staying on the same subject, let's talk about what's happening in Tasmania with an auction house selling Nazi memorabilia.
Yes, in Tasmania, there was an outcry over a Tasmanian auction house pushing ahead last week with the sale of Nazi memorabilia. On the positive front, the state's premier, Tasmanian Premier Will Hodgman, said his government is now open to considering a total ban of the sale of such items in future. Despite concerns expressed by the leader of the Tasmanian Greens and the Anti-Defamation Commission, the auctioneers, Armitage Auctions, based in Launceston, proceeded with the sale of several items, including a Hitler Youth belt buckle and an SS Panzer Division officer's ring. Premier Hodgman said, "I do not appreciate the sale of items such as these or believe it would be something that would be welcome by the Tasmanian community. It does break a community standard and it does cause distress to the state's Jewish community and to Tasmanians more generally." So he said his government would take advice about banning such items and will certainly consider, he said, what options are available to government. He said, "We don't want to impose unnecessary restrictions on people to do with what they wish with their private property, but I think there has been a line crossed." And speaking to the Jewish News last week, Neil Austin from Armitage Auctions said they would actually welcome legislation on the sale of Nazi memorabilia, because that way, he said, "I wish we did not have to make a decision on morally what we should or should not be able to sell. So such legislation would make it easier, make the decision easier on what to do if there were clear laws guiding us."
Let's move on to our next story. A 5-year boycott has ended on a leading international medical journal because of its coverage of Israel. Tell us more, Shane.
Yeah, so this is a positive end to a concerning situation. A 5-year boycott of a leading international medical journal called The Lancet because of its coverage of Israel has officially ended amongst thousands of physicians and academics across the world, including Australia's Jewish professor in medicine, Paul Zimmet. Tensions erupted way back in 2014 after Operation Protective Edge in the Israel-Gaza war, when The Lancet's editor-in-chief, Professor Richard Horton, published an inflammatory letter blaming the Jewish state for the conflict. That letter that was published was signed by 24 doctors and scientists, and it spoke of, quote, the aggression of Gaza by Israel, and it went further saying that Israeli academics are, quote, complicit in the massacre and destruction of Gaza, while claiming Gazans were trying to resolve their conflicts without arms and harm. And one of the signatories of the letter was Dr. Paola Manduca, who also forwarded a piece suggesting Jews were responsible for the Boston Marathon bombings. Professor Zimmet, who works at in diabetes research at Monash University, quit the Lancet's International Advisory Board in protest at the time. And for 5 years, this boycott of that publication was in effect by thousands of Jewish and also non-Jewish medical experts, including Nobel Prize winners. But last month, there was a breakthrough after The Lancet published a very important article into the worldwide rise in anti-Semitism. And Professor Zimmet and also Professor Julio Rosenstock from Dallas wrote to Horton informing him that they had noted a change in the journal's tone towards Israel and were ending the boycott. Horton actually visited Israel in the meantime, and he met Israeli President Reuven Rivlin. And there was also an article published in The Lancet recently that was prepared by Professor Zimmet and others. And the article was about bringing closure towards achieving a better understanding of Israel. So Professor Zimmet told us, to me, this is quite something. He said that he believes Horton has adopted a new outlook because he suddenly found out a lot more about the involvement of the Israel medical profession in actually aiding injured Gazans. Zimmet said Horton sent him an email emphasizing how important it was for him personally and professionally that this issue, this boycott, was resolved. And the original letter that was published back in 2014, he said, was a very bad mistake, and he expressed in his email to us that he was very sorry now that he had published it. For their part, Professor Zimmet and his colleagues had been concerned about depriving young medical researchers of opportunities to publish reports and research in the esteemed journal. He said, I think that was something that influenced us also to try to end this dispute. So that's a 5-year boycott coming to an end, which can only be a good thing for medical research and Jewish and non-Jewish leading doctors around the world.
Yes, this is really great. 5 years of boycott coming to its end. Time for one more story, and why not finishing off with something light and positive? And it's actually in Israel.
Sure. So there's been an organization just for about 4 years in Israel that teaches at-risk teenagers who, for example, drop out of school to surf on Israel's beaches. And part of the requirement is that they keep attending school. And the result is a 95% success rate of children who participate in the program. It's called Hagal Sheli, which is called My Wave. And it was founded by Yaron Waxman and Omer Tulchinsky. And it's gone from just a handful of students to now having 3,000 graduates and 284 instructors. The good news is that the organization has received from the Municipal Council of Tel Aviv a rent-free building right on Tel Aviv Beach. And It needs a major refurbishment to add new classrooms, and then that's going to cost about $1.3 million. And the last 30% of funding is needed. So this is where Australia comes in. There's this Sunday, there's actually a fundraising event in Sydney through several Jewish families and JNF Australia. And if this, and Yaron Waxman will be speaking at this event, coming from Israel to speak at this event. And if that 30% of the balance for that building is achieved, the center will actually be called the Australia-Israel Surf Education Center. And also, there will be new opportunities to bring some of these amazing programs to Australia to be run by not-for-profit organizations here. So this will be a fantastic result, and it'll help Israeli teenagers in need, and it'll also teach a new generation of Australians, Australian kids, how to surf here.
This is really good news. You heard it yourself. If the goal of 30% is reached, the name will become part of Australia. Hope to see it being achieved. And Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for your time, and speak to you next week.
Thanks, Amit. Speak to you next time. SBS.com.au